Earlier in the week, when I wasn't feeling my best, I was meditating on a passage of scripture over here in Proverbs 25, and felt like I had my thought all put together and kind of my notes made and all that kind of thing, and I don't know, it was one of those things that happened when I was in one of those, my mind wasn't working just right. I just erased it all. Got rid of all of my all of my notes I'd prepared, and I thought, well, okay. And it seemed like the Lord just brought back the thoughts to me, and the chapter, I just remembered the two different books and chapters that I had been meditating on, so I feel like the Lord wants to share it. So I'd like for us to turn to the Proverbs, the 25th chapter, and I'd like to start reading in the 13th verse. We're not going to try to analyze the details of each one of these verses that we're going to read today in Proverbs, but I'd like to just read through the end of the chapter, and I'd like for us to just kind of stand back and just look at it, per se. So beginning in verse 13, it says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth, and a foot out of joint. And as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as a vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falleth down before the wicked, is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So here's what, there's so many different thoughts in this passage of scripture that every verse almost could just go somewheres with almost every verse. And sometimes it's just a couple verses that's connected that seems like, well, here's something you can really work with as far as developing a thought. But I'm really not interested in so much, although maybe we'll capitalize on just a couple of them, just to kind of help us get the picture. I'm not so much interested on what each one of these might instigate in our mind, as much as I want us to get the thought of the illustrations that are in the scripture. And this is just one place. We could turn the page in Proverbs and read another chapter, or maybe some more in this chapter, and get some other points, but I just chose to read this little segment of Proverbs chapter 25, and the whole Bible is full of illustrations. And so what does an illustration do in a message or in a lesson? Let's just stop and think about that. Pardon? It paints a picture and it helps us to connect with the point that is being made. And it's so imperative to anyone that is endeavoring to be a teacher or to be a preacher is to be able to use illustrations. It's not that that's all you can do or all you should do, but to be able to use illustrations to be able to focus what the burden is all about. All right? Okay? Now, whoever is using the illustration, the one that's telling the story, needs to be able to thoroughly understand it for themselves. Now, I've heard some people try to use illustrations that they didn't really have any business using. And there's illustrations maybe that I've tried to use that I probably shouldn't have tried to use because I didn't thoroughly understand maybe what I was talking about. But I do know that one time I used an illustration and I knew it was fairly complicated. And I'll say this, if you're going to use a fairly complicated illustration and you really know what it's about, you really understand it, you're going to have to spend enough time helping other people to understand it before it's effective. All right? If I say something today about I'm going to put it like this. So there's a few of you out here that'll understand what I'm saying when I say the ding alarm on the Wayne shaft. When I say that, you know immediately where I got that from. Okay? Right? But, for by and large, the rest of you don't know. So, it's not important for my discussion today for you to get that message. So, I'm not going to spend the time it takes to give you the details of what that scenario is. But if I wanted you to get a point about the ding alarm, then I would spend an extensive amount of time trying to explain and give you that illustration. All right? Now, but if there's something I'm trying to get the message across, so I'm trying to give you a complicated illustration, then I'm going to have to be devoted to helping you understand. And if it's in a teaching class, such as Sunday school or maybe a Bible study or something like that, you can get a much better handle on whether people are getting it or not by asking them questions. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you're standing here like I am this morning, then I have to begin to start reading your expressions and begin to recognize whether you're paying attention or whether you are lost. And when it looks like the congregation has I have lost every one of you because the illustration I'm trying to give you is just gook. You don't get it at all. I better quit. All right? But so here's the point I want to make about illustrations. We must understand it.
We must be able to communicate it correctly, and it must be able to be easily understood by the hearers so they can utilize it to understand the point that's being made. If it's not easily understood, then you're going to have to either explain it until they do, or you're going to have to quickly abandon it and move on to something else. And probably say, I'm sorry that I tried to use that illustration. Let's try something else. Okay? I want us to realize that an illustration is not just a story or just a filler so that you can take up 30 or 45 minutes of time. All right? But an illustration is something that emphasizes the point that's being made. So all of this, this is kind of a teaching session, all right? It says, I put in my notes that a good illustration used with inspiration is very effective in establishing truth and righteousness. Okay, so now let's look at just a few points that it talks about here in Proverbs 25. It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Do y'all get that? Do you get that illustration?
No, we didn't.
Okay. Well, some of the reason we don't get it is because we're not at the time of our age that they lived in. Sometimes it's because what we think of as harvesting and what maybe they're thinking of as harvesting. I'm not really sure if they were even thinking about harvesting. We think of harvesting grain or something like that. And maybe they weren't thinking about that. Maybe they were thinking of something else. What about the one that says, there was one here that I thought it was, pardon?
What was it about?
I don't remember off the top of my head. Well, let's just go to the next verse. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Does that ring a bell? Do you understand that illustration makes sense? If we look outside and the sky is overcast, and we might say, well, looks like it's going to rain. Or sometimes when the wind changes, and some of us might say, well, it smells like it's going to rain. Or, you know, it just feels like there's rain in the air or something like that. If it don't rain, then we're disappointed, right? So the illustration here is that if the physical appearance is that the person is boasting that he has a gift and he doesn't, it's like it looking like it's going to rain and it doesn't rain. There's an emptiness there. You feel like you've been taken advantage of. It's a major disappointment. We thought we had someone that not just had abilities but had a gift, and we find out that it was just a hoax. They didn't come through. As cold waters to a thirsty soul So is good news from a far country. Cold waters. I can remember sitting in the chapel when it was hot and I was a little boy and seeing this a glass of water up here that had ice in it and the water, the condensation on the outside. And I'm just sitting there and kind of my lips getting drier and drier and just felt like I had cotton in my mouth. And a preacher would take a drink of water and it was like, boy, I sure glad I wished I could have a drink of that water or something like that. And, you know, there was another little boy one time that must have had the same thoughts that I did, because when we was at Grubbs one time, he walked up to the front and then he took the drink of water from the preacher's water glass. That's a true story. That's not just an illustration. But anyway, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Is that a clear illustration? Does that help you get a hold of the message, you see? All right. So I'd like for us to turn to Mark, the second chapter, and I'd like for us to see an illustration that's given. And I'd like for us to read through this and find out if the people got the message or not. Okay? So let's go to Mark, the second chapter. I'm going to read in chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. Now, what is a parable? It's a story. All right. A story given to prove a point. It's an illustration, if you will. Can I use it like that? And it's Jesus. It's not the writer in Proverbs in the Old Testament. So Jesus did it too. In his teaching of the people, he's trying to paint a picture in their mind by using things that they're familiar with. That's one of the things that an illustration can really help. If we can connect with those that we're trying to share the message with, and we can paint an illustration that they connect with, they'll get it. They'll understand. He says here, a certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and set it out, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And as the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto him another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And have ye not read this scripture, that the stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the people, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Now I have a question. Did they get the message?
Yes,
huh?
They got the message.
They got the message. And how do we know they got the message?
Because they said the parable was about them.
He says, for they, that 12th verse, it says, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. So the illustration was effective. When Jesus told the parable, and he started out talking about a vineyard and a man planting a vineyard and setting a hedge about it and digging a place for the wine fat and building a tire and letting it out to husbandmen and all of that. Now, he didn't say anything about the scribes and the Pharisees, did he? He didn't. But he painted this picture, this illustration, and he used things that's not necessarily familiar with me today, because I'm not, as I told you the other Sunday, I'm not a grapevine expert by any means, but he used something that they were familiar with, painted this illustration, this parable in their, and they got the message, because they said that they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. So, I wanted to read this so that we could understand that Jesus used illustrations, he used these parables, he used them effectively because people got the message. But I also read this because I feel like it would be good for us to understand what was he talking about in this parable. And before I went and read what a commentator said on it, I just kind of jotted down my thoughts about what is the vineyard? Who was it that planted the vineyard? Who was the heir? I think that was the easiest one to figure out. Who was the heir? Who? Jesus was the heir. So if Jesus was the heir, then who had to be the one that planted the vineyard? God had to be the one that planted the vineyard. So we got at least two of the... So who would be the husbandman? The ones that were to take care of the vineyard.
Priests and spiritual leaders.
The priests. All right. So the vineyard. What was the vineyard? I just wrote down the in my initial thoughts, the Old Testament dispensation. I looked in one of the commentators later, and they feel like it was specifically Jerusalem. The hedge around about it being the law. The husbandmen were to take care of this thing. And they said about the servants coming and asking for some, you know, you might say some reward from the vineyard or anything like that. But I had to think of the scripture that talks about Jerusalem that slayeth the prophets or something like that. Isn't there a scripture that says that? So I'm thinking about all of those people that rejected God's dealings with them, and they were in the hierarchy of the, you might say, leadership, and they rejected the prophets. You know, Isaiah, we found out Isaiah, he wasn't from the tribe of Levi. He most likely was from the tribe of Judah. And Isaiah's prophecy, when he came to the Israel back in the Old Testament times, he was not received very friendly at all. Jeremiah was it? They throwed him in the well. You remember that? All of those prophets, some of them wounded in the head. Some of them they beat them up thoroughly. Some of them they kill. But all of those, and then when Jesus came, what did the leaders say? There's the heir. Let's kill him. And they perceived by this story, they was talking about our mistreatment of the prophets that came. They're talking about the mistreatment of and the misuse and all of that of those that came to try to redirect our course down through life. And now this is the one that says he's the Son of God. And what did they said here in the first part of that 12th verse? And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. That they would have taken him out right then, but they feared the people. All right, so they got the message. So, with this little parable, I would like to ask us if we get the message. Is there a message in this parable for us today? The people that lived in Jesus' times, obviously he told it for their benefit, because it says that they got it. They got the message. But I wonder, do we get the message? And how does this apply to us today? The Lord, God, of all creation, definitely give the people in the Old Testament, he gave them the law, he gave them instruction. But when Jesus came, it says right here in this parable that when they killed Jesus, that the Lord would come and he would do something. He said, let's go back and read the last part of that. We'll start in the 7th verse. But these husbandmen said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him out and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. That would be the fulfillment of Jesus' crucifixion, all right? What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He shall come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. Now, when did that happen? We know that the total destruction of Jerusalem and the eradication of the Levitical priesthood by knowing that they were definitely of the lineage of Aaron was totally abolished when Jerusalem was destroyed. 80, 70, something like that. And since that time, there's been Judaism, but there has not been the old law practice. All right? So it says, he says, I'll come and I'll destroy the vineyard. And have you not read into the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected should become the head of the corner? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Okay, so if Jesus came, he was this heir, and he was killed, he was crucified, and they took him and put him at the head of the corner. He's built something different here. And let's stop and think about this. What has been entrusted into our hands? Where do we fit in this picture? Aren't we to be kind of like husbandmen in the vineyard today? I think we are. I think we're to be husbandmen in the vineyard today. We're supposed to be those that kind of tend to the grapevine and tend to whether it's the pruning or now the scripture tells us that the Lord prunes who he would. He prunes the branches and all of that so that we bring more fruit. But we are to be part of his body here, and we are to oversee. I say oversee. We are to be contributing at least unto the overall health of this vineyard, of
of God's people here on this earth. I know some people in the past that they, I don't know what denomination affiliation they have or anything like that, but they named the place of their little get-together, their church, the Vineyard. Maybe more than one people like that. So if we consider that we're part of that vineyard today, then we have a responsibility. And we have a responsibility to be receptive and responsive when the Lord comes along and wants to know how things are going. I need a little feedback. I need some I need some reciprocation here from the input I'm given to the vineyard here and the investment that I've made and all of that. Instead of us, what did they do here? What was the picture he gave? And they got the message. They treated the God servants bad. So what do we do to the messengers that we get from the Lord that says, are you bearing fruit for me? Are you growing in grace? Are you being more sympathetic? Are you being more kind? Are you being more tender? Are you being more loving? Are you being more obedient in this line and that line? Are you measuring up in this little area that I showed you to do? And instead of us saying, sending back the message through our prayers, yes, Lord, but I need a little more grace. I need a little, whatever we're needing of. Are we doing that? Are we taking the messenger and stuffing him under the rug, so to speak? You know, that's what they did to old Jeremiah. Instead of listening to what Jeremiah said, they got tired of listening to him and they put him down in that old muck down in the bottom of a well. And I don't know how long he stayed down there, but sometimes I'm afraid that when the Lord sends us a little messenger along and we want to be part of the vineyard, instead of reciprocating and saying, Lord, here I am. I'm making some progress, or I'm holding my own, or giving back a status report of where we're at. Instead, we take the messenger and either try to cut its head off where it doesn't say anything any longer, or we try to stuff it under the bed or under the rug or ignore it or something, and we sabotage it. And we go on a little longer, and here comes another messenger from the Lord. And he's asking us, how's things going? What's happening in my vineyard down there? I know you're on the grapevine. Are you making any fruit for me? And instead of me responding, what do I do with the messenger? So I just want to ask us this morning, do we get anything out of this little illustration for ourselves today? I hope we do. Because I've been thinking about it and I think, Lord, help me. I don't want to be one of those that is guilty of taking your messengers and your spirit that comes and deals with my heart. I don't want to be one of those that's guilty of ignoring it, of resisting it, of rejecting it. I don't be one of those that's feeling like it doesn't apply to me and I turn a deaf ear to what it has to say. I don't want to be one of those. Instead, I want to be one of those that embraces that messenger from the Lord. And I want to be able to send a message back to Him. A message of health, a message of progress, a message of strength. Because at the end, I don't want to hear the report that the Lord is going to come and rip this vineyard away from the husbandman. I want to be a husbandman that's
I want to be one of those that he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to be one of those that says, that he has to say, get thou behind me. I don't want to be that way. I want us to be challenged today to not just be hanging on the vine, but that we're actually being good husbandmen of the vineyard. I want us to be challenged to get the message of the illustrations in the Scripture. I don't to tell you that I totally understand all of the details of what the hedge meant and the tower, and there was one commentator felt like the tower probably represented the temple and some other things, which most likely it did in Jesus' story. I don't doubt that at all, but I just want us to be faithful this morning. I desire your prayers for myself. I want to be faithful to him as an individual. I want us to be faithful as a congregation. And I want us, when the Lord sends his Spirit, whether it's through another minister, whether it's through a revival, whatever it is, when the Lord's messenger comes, I want that messenger to be able to take a good report back. I don't want that messenger to come down and feel like they've came into a blind alley and got beat up. You know, there's blind alleys in cities that you just probably don't dare go down. All right? I mean, I'm not lived in a big city, but my guess is there's places you just don't want to go down. There's street corners you don't want your car to go dead on. So I just ask us, Lord, help us to have the vineyard, the part of the vineyard that we have, you might say, the ability to be husbandmen to. Lord, help us to have that vineyard in good order, to where when a messenger comes along, he's going to take a good report back instead of the Lord saying, well, what happened to that messenger? I sent him down there, and he come back all scuffed up. You know, some of them got wounded in the head. Some of them they killed. We don't want to send a messenger away from us that's been wounded. Lord, help us. Pray for me.